Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift between now and the end of the year, we'll send you a CD of an Advent and Christmas sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate online at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. And for any size year-end gift, we'll send you a CD of Todd's Advent and Christmas sermons.
I think what happens for them is they get to the transcendent through the physical, the act of canoeing, the act of setting up camp. It is much easier, I think, for God to get through our defenses when we're in a wilderness.
That's Pastor John Leyenberger of United Church of Christ. He's a pastor there and author of Renewal in the Wilderness. This isn't a new thing, but of course there are always those who believe that getting out there into the wilderness, by a lake, on a mountain, in the woods, maybe even in the desert, you get closer to God. God's able to break through, as Pastor Leyenberger alleges there. We'll talk about wilderness spirituality for the last half hour of Issues Etc. this Monday afternoon, December the 14th. We're coming to you live. Our phone number, 1-877-623-MYIE. 877-623-6943. You can email us here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, or Twitter us @issuesetc. Craig Parton is a regular guest, an attorney in Santa Barbara, California. He's U.S. Director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, and he's author of the book, The Defense Never Rests, A Lawyer's Quest for the Gospel. Craig, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd. Glad to be back.
How would you respond to Pastor John Leyenberger, who says that it's easier for God to break through our defenses and get to us when we're out there rather than cooped up in here?
Well, I would say to him there's a couple of people who are probably going to find bodies on Mount Hood soon who went out to commune with nature and found out that nature has a terrifying side to it. What was fascinating to me in this article and this YouTube thing on wilderness spirituality. Wilderness is all wonderful when you got your L.L. Bean canoe and you got your mosquito repellent and your hat and your 27 backpacks and everything's hunky-dory and you meditate. But if the pagan religions teach us anything, it's that when you really look at nature without the prism of Western values and the L.L. Bean catalog, it can have a terrifying aspect to it. And while nature has order in it, nature also has aspects of complete, utter terror associated with it, whether it be natural disasters or the whole slew of things that can happen to you when you try to, quote, get away from it to find God. And so that's one thing I'd say. The second thing I'd say to this guy is he's one of those rare people that, quote, went from atheism into religious liberalism. I'll bet he was an atheist when he was quite young, because you don't find atheists converting to this limp-wristed kind of Christianity where you go out into the meadow to find God, and you might find him by contemplating yourself. So, first of all, I think nature has got a revelation of the law and of terror, and that's certainly the history of pagan religions. And secondly, you have utterly no assurance that what you've contacted in your quiet time is God or your inner projections of God.
See, that's the second thing you mentioned there near the end is perhaps one of the things that concerns me the most. I want to get to the early chapters of Romans and talk about natural revelation, that God is revealed there, but not in a way that gets us any closer to knowing who he is. But let's talk about this. If I'm sitting by the lake, the sun is coming up, the birds are singing, all is right with the world, I'm, you know, my bacon's cooking on the campfire, and I'm out there in nature, and I think I'm closer to God, I feel his presence. I feel that peace, that serenity that I associate with God. I feel as though my life has come into perspective, Craig. I'm seeing things in a better light. This has got to be God out here doing this stuff.
Yeah, Luther says that natural man has the constant ability to recast God in his own image. Since I'm feeling good and I'm on this ski slope, this must be God that I'm contacting. Well, you know, most people that have had contacts in the wilderness with God or find him in his holiness are undone by it. I think of Isaiah and his experience with coming into the presence of a holy God. The biblical material is when you come in contact with this God, this is a God of pure holiness, you are undone. You don't feel wonderful and cozy about who you are. You realize that unless God takes the action to condescend to you and to save you, you are in deep, deep trouble. And that should be what the discussion ought to be about. What we get out of nature is that there is a God of order and of incredible power. But if you look out at nature sensitively, you also see beasts eating one another. You see all kinds of carnage going on. You see tsunamis and a whole host of things. There's been a monkey wrench thrown into nature. And this selective, I'm sitting by a nice river here, is all sounds good and fine, but talk to the people that are up on Mount Hood right now about the nice, gentle, tame God.
Or if a bear decides to show up and interrupt my divine repose.
Yeah. You know, there's that amazing story of that guy who went out to be with the grizzlies, you know, and he lived with them, and finally, the grizzlies figured out this guy. They believe the grizzlies didn't tear him limb from limb because they knew he was a defective unit. Anybody who would go out there and hang out with grizzlies has a couple screws loose, so they weren't sure about him. But eventually they had him for lunch, sauce and all. And that's what nature's about. It isn't, you know, befriending your local grizzly. Good luck.
Let's talk a little bit about Romans, the early chapters, where Paul does say that there are certain things of God that are seen almost like fingerprints in those things he has created and that can be seen.
Sure.
Take us
sure.
there.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no question that there is a basis for what the legal philosophers call natural law reasoning and God revealing himself in general revelation. Scripture is clear on this. Paul is clear on this. The content, however, of general revelation is always law. You don't get a loving God who sent his son to die for you on the cross through pondering what nature is about. What you do understand from a sensitive analysis of nature is that there is order, that there is design behind it, and that there is incredible power. What you don't get the idea is that there's forgiveness of your sins. And you get from nature, from a sensitive analysis, the natural law theologians would say, you can get an understanding that you are a lawbreaker. C.S. Lewis talks about it in Mere Christianity, that even through natural law, you can understand that you can't keep your own standards. But there's no answer to this given to you in pondering nature or trying to get deeper into explaining the cosmos. There's no ultimate cross forgiveness, God taking care of the problem on his own. So ultimately, this leaves you in the lack of forgiveness of sins and in terror, as the pagan religions show. I mean, you don't find native tribal people having a lovey-dovey view of who God is. I mean, they live in the elements. These yuppies in this article go out with their fancy camping gear and go down in perfect weather down the stream. If you live in this kind of thing, like native tribes do, you don't get this idea that all is hunky-dory. Essentially, God is to be feared and to be bought off through any kind of means that you have, whether it's sacrifices or having a magician working for you or a soothsayer or sorcerer or whatever intermediary that can buy off God.
Joe is listening in his car. Joe, thanks for waiting.
Hi. Comment and a question. I guess a question is, I've always heard theology of glory versus theology of the cross being works righteousness versus Christ righteousness. Doesn't this tie in with that in the sense that the theology of glory is thinking that we can find and appease God in nature that way versus the theology of the cross, as you were just talking about, where the only way that we know God as Savior is through his word, through Christ. And the comment would be that the UCC guy that you played the clip of at the beginning, I doubt if he's really looking for God, or he's looking for something other than the God of the Bible, clearly, because as you're pointing out, we can see God as judge and perhaps creator in creation or nature, but there's no way that we can find the word in nature in the sense of the gospel, the saving word. Thanks.
Well, Joe, thank you very much. With about a minute, let's begin a response, Craig. First of all, his question about the theology of the cross or theology of glory, only a minute before our break.
Yeah, that normally is within the context more of the Christian life. Those who hold to a theology of glory put anything but Christ in his work as adequate to please God and to live the Christian life, where the theology of the cross is that the entire Christian life is lived in repentance and trust in Christ at all times, that sanctification really is the other side of justification. It's the lived life of the justified sinner. So normally that's how the theology of glory and the theology of the cross are looked at. But your inquirer has a good point. This really ends up being the same thing. What this is substituting anything other than the work of Christ for contact with God. Instead of what God has done for us in Christ and the cross and comes to us today in the sacraments, instead you have substituted your own, in this case, mystical or rational experience with God in place of God's revelation to us. So your listener ultimately is right. It is a species of the theology of glory. And the other thing I would say about his comment is dead on. My only statement would be, I think this pastor was better off in atheism than becoming a religious liberal. Just shows you how little religious liberalism has to offer and how unlike Christianity it is.
Craig Parton is our guest. We're talking about wilderness spirituality. 1-877-623-6943. Stay tuned. More with Craig after this.
Climbed a mountain and I turned around, and I saw my reflection in snow-covered hills.
Are you looking for a church where you can receive the gifts of God in the gospel and the sacraments and in the church's historic worship with lively music? Then come to Hope Lutheran Church in South St. Louis. We're located on the corner of Brannan and Neosho Streets at 5218 Neosho. You can also reach us on the World Wide Web at www.hopelutheranstl.org. And give us a call at 314-352-0014. There is hope in St. Louis.
Here's what Pastor Bill Swirla had to say on a recent Issues Etc. broadcast about the new Lutheran Study Bible.
What we've had in the past is the Lutheran revision of an NIV Study Bible, so there's always a certain yes-but character to it. This is done by Lutheran theologians and exegetes, and I think it's something that we can use confidently in our Bible studies and home devotions and other places.
You can purchase the new Lutheran Study Bible online. Just look for the cover at our homepage, issuesetc.org.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
International human rights attorney and law professor Dr. John Warwick Montgomery on the importance of Issues Etc.
Before settling in England and France, I had my own Christian radio program for 10 years in California and 2 years in Washington State. I was also a regular for over a decade on national religious television. In a word, I have had a great deal of contact with evangelical programming, both good and bad, and my judgment in this area is probably worth something. In my opinion, Issues Etc. is one of the very few programs on Christian radio willing to discuss tough questions with solid theological answers. I consider it a great privilege to be able to appear on the program regularly, and I commend it to every serious listener.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift today. Donate online at issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Defending the faith, teaching the truth. Issues Etc.
Walking through forests of hungry hearts, men scoff at the monkeys who live in that dark tent down by the wall.
Talking wilderness spirituality, Craig Parton is our guest. 10 more minutes on this Monday, December the 14th, with him. He's an attorney in Santa Barbara, California, U.S. Director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights. Before we go on, Craig, tell us a little bit about the Academy.
Well, the Academy is the only non-residency program in apologetics for the layman that's available in the summertime in Strasbourg, France. The classes are in English. We have 20 people to study a number of different subjects on the defense of the faith, from scientific apologetics, legal, historical, literary apologetics. And we have four different professors that teach during the day. And Todd, you've been with us before. This year we have Gene Veith, who I'm sure has been a regular guest on your show. And this is really designed for the person who wants to study more in the defense of the faith, and become better equipped to give a reason for the hope that is within them in our increasingly secular society. And we still do have a couple of places open for the 2010 Academy. It'll be very special. We have a couple of theologians from Europe going to work on world religions and biblical authority for us and do those courses. And Gene Veith will be doing cultural and literary apologetics, Dr. John Montgomery again, and myself teaching there as we do each summer.
You can find out more about the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights at our website tonight, issuesetc.org. Click listen and go to the on-demand page. You'll find a link to the Academy and all the information you need right there at our website, issuesetc.org. Paul seems to describe a scenario in which man has sufficient knowledge of God through God's creation for God to hold man accountable. But with that knowledge, man inevitably rejects the true God in favor of worshiping, as Paul says, the creature rather than the creator. Take us through this scenario and how it almost, well, not almost, it inevitably, in Paul's scenario, leads, natural revelation alone, leads to paganism.
Yeah, and it's a subset of what we have talked about before, Todd, is that there is no gospel in that natural revelation. Now, people will ask, the question, the way this kind of comes out in the basic apologetical question that you will get from an unbeliever about paganism and nature revealing things. And once you start discussing that all men are guilty before God by virtue of natural revelation, you'll hear, but what about the person that's never heard before at all? They've never heard the gospel at all. What about the innocent pagan, the innocent heathen? And my response is, nobody innocent goes to hell. I mean, that is kind of Paul's point. If there was anyone innocent, if literally innocent, there would be no need for the cross of Christ to save them, would there? And from our information from Romans, is there certainly appears to be sufficient witness out there for people to take stock from nature alone to push them toward the cross of Christ. But, you know, for those people that may never have heard the gospel on this earth, we'll leave it to the Lord to judge justly for there in that situation. I don't feel compelled biblically to say everyone who's never heard the gospel goes to hell, no matter whether they ever had an opportunity or not. I don't know what opportunities God gives the moment, nanosecond after you die, to understand here's what the gospel is. For those who have never had the opportunity, I don't know. But I sure do know the consequence for those that have heard the gospel and reject it. And that's the normal person that I'm talking to every day. They really don't need to worry about the heathen in Africa. They should worry about themselves and the amount of knowledge they do know.
With all that we've said so far, what do we need to say about now how the Christian, viewing now even what he has by way of natural revelation and the world around him, what does the Christian then, how does he approach the world around him? For instance, I don't know if you're an outdoorsman, Craig, of any kind. You might be one of those guys who, you know, never gets farther outside doors than a glass of white wine on the back patio. I don't know.
I play golf.
Okay, that's good enough. But you live in one of the most beautiful towns in the United States. You see how beautiful creation can be, a sun up, a sundown, marvelous weather year round. Thank you very much. And
yeah,
a Christian certainly has a different view of creation than someone going out looking for God on a mountaintop.
Yeah, they certainly should. And to balance what this pastor is saying, Christians should have an interest in the natural world. And in fact, we believe it's God's laboratory, and to work in that, to show and to understand how God has built in order into nature and to see the incredible detail that God has had there. Christians historically have been interested in this and should be. That's why we have such a strong connection to the rise of science in the time of the Reformation, thinking God's thoughts after him. The Christian should have great interest both in the natural world and, I hate to say it, in preserving the natural world. I won't say go green, but every Christian should be environmentally sensitive. We are stewards of God's creation. We are to treat it with respect as a gift from God. The man is to have dominion over creation, but he is not to ruin it and hand it back as a dump heap to the Lord who has given all good gifts. So you actually end up getting all the theology of a strong view of creation and of nature and of a true biblical environmentalism when you take Scripture seriously. When you don't take it seriously, you end up with this limp-wristed kind of approach to nature that you get from this article and this pastor's comments about finding God in nature.
So if it's not to be found at the foot of a sequoia or at the edge of the Grand Canyon, if revelation of the true God is not to be found there, where do we direct men to find the true God, not only in his judgment and his creative power, but also in his mercy and forgiveness?
It's what Luther said. You find Christ, find God and the cradle, at the cradle and at the cross, and then find him in every flower. In other words, start in special revelation where God is condescended to be found, which is in the work of his Son and his incarnation at this time of the year, and his crucifixion and resurrection for our justification. Find God there first, and then let that be the foundation to find him in every flower, to find him in every endeavor, to find him in nature, not to try to reverse that kind of order. And, you know, when this guy mentions that he heard the voice of God, I'm reminded of the legal scholar Eugene Hussey, earlier part of this of last century. He heard a word from God when he was on his way to Moscow for an atheistic law conference. God talked, he said, Christ appeared to him and told him to repent. He got off the train at the next Orthodox church, repented, was baptized, and is a believing Christian to this day. Now, that's a guy that I say God talked to. This other Yahoo who's going to go out in his canoe and God's going to whisper to him through the means of his L.L. Bean backpack stuff, I think has got it completely reversed.
Craig Parton is an attorney in Santa Barbara, California, U.S. Director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, and author of the book, The Defense Never Rests, A Lawyer's Quest for the Gospel. Craig, thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure, Todd.
Folks, there are only 17 days left in this year, 2009. If you've enjoyed listening to Issues Etc. this past year, please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift. You can make a secure online donation at our website, issuesetc.org, or you can make a year-end contribution by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. The address again, LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for thinking us as we approach the end of 2009. Where is he to be found? He made everything there is. It is all sustained by the power of his word. The mountains belong to him, the ocean depths. We even confess in our great ancient liturgy of the church, sea is his, for he made it. His hands formed the dry ground. But do you go out to the sea or to the mountaintop to worship him? No, the same song, ancient song of the church, says, O come, let us worship him. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. He is our God. Where is our God? You can go to the mountaintop, and God will certainly be there in his omnipresence, but not for you. You might well just get struck by lightning on the mountaintop or blown off precipice or frozen to death. And what kind of a God has that revealed? Where is God, the one who made the mountains, the sea, and everything that's in them? This God is to be found for us on the cross. Not in our own imagination, not in the whisperings of our imagination or our mind as we enjoy the nature that he has made, the creation he has put together, but there where he took on human flesh for us and bore in his body our sin at the cross, that is where God is for you. It's not a pretty picture. Not as pretty as a picture of a lake or a flock of geese or a mountaintop or the Grand Canyon. It's not a pretty picture at all. The bloody Son of God hanging dead on the cross. But that is God. That is the true God revealed in all of his mercy and his love, giving his own Son for you and for me. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.